The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 96. We begin with verse 12. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that the Spirit, he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The word of the Lord. Please have a seat. Would you please pray with me? Lord Almighty, we pray on this Trinity Sunday that you would reveal yourself to us as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in a new and fresh way. Pray that you would anoint each person here that we might feel your presence today, within us, around us, and through the Word. We pray this in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's a great joy for me to be here and preach with you. I always feel like God's words come out of me and back and preach to me. That's how amazing God is. So I don't just preach to you, but somehow preach to myself and get blessed by being here. So thank you for this privilege. It is Holy Trinity Sunday, Sunday where we take on this kind of gargantuan task of trying to understand how God is indeed three in one and one in three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have creeds of our church, the Apostles' Creed, which we say most Sundays, the Athanasian Creed and the Nicene Creed that are a bit longer and try to tackle this even more fully. The title of my sermon today is The Holy Trinity, How God Shows Up. How God Shows Up to Us. So I'm not in a church right now. That's why I get to preach here and get to attend worship here on a regular basis. But when I had my confirmation classes, which I actually love teaching confirmation, one of my favorite assignments that I would give would be for the students to write their own creed. Right, their own creed. And I would tell them that creed comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. So if you look at the first, in the Apostles' Creed, the start of every section or every article of the creed starts with I believe. So the Latin there is credo. So I would give this assignment to the students, and they would wrestle with it, quite honestly. But I noticed that they had, that they would grow in it, and they would go into the Bible looking for, you know, hints about who God is as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So that's what I invite us to do this morning, is go into the Word and figure out maybe a little bit more what this Trinity thing is all about, and notice maybe a little more how God shows up in our lives. So first of all, think about how God shows up as creator. We learn of God showing up as creator in the very first verse of the Bible, right? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. Think about all the other things that God could have done. God could have sung. God could have mowed the yard. God could have done all sorts of things. God, though, created. That's the first thing that God did. So it's obvious to me then that if that's the first verse in the Bible, that's the first chapter of the Bible, and that's the very first thing that God did, that creating is absolutely intrinsic to who God is. To elaborate that a little bit, we could say, in the beginning, God created and bent and fashioned and twisted, formed, produced, generated, and God crafted, built, constructed, and made the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth kind of includes about everything, doesn't it? So take a second right now. Think, and this is for younger ones as well as everybody up. What are your favorite things that God has made? What are your favorite things? Shout out a few of them. What is it? Songbirds. Trees. The sun. What? Coffee. I'm with you. What else? We need at least five more. Fountains? Mountains. Mountains. The sky, Francis. Three more. Oceans. What? Babies. Animals. That's my favorite. Wolves and coyotes and foxes and cats and dogs. All the animals. Think of this. God did create trees. Over 100,000 species. Insects. Does anyone here like insects? I do. I think they're kind of cool. Guess what? Over 950,000 types of insects. It's like God just started creating and just couldn't stop, right? And God still hasn't stopped. God takes our darkest days and turns them around. God takes our despair and changes it, forms it into hope. And maybe best of all, life out of death. And new breeds of dogs. We confess our faith in the first person of the Trinity in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. So if you look in your bulletin on page 3, we'll confess just the first line together, nice and slow. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. It's such a great, concise statement of the glorious, amazing, powerful work of our Almighty Lord Creator, the first person in the Trinity. So now let's think about how God shows up as Jesus, the Savior of the world, the second person of the Trinity. One place we learn of Jesus coming is in the prophet Isaiah, and this passage is often read at during Advent season. It's from chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Imagine the people that those words were first spoken to. After living in deep darkness, they are all of a sudden now walking in hope. And not just walking in hope for the appearance of this mighty God and Prince of Peace, but they're walking in hope because he will show up to save them, to save them. And so he did. Jesus showed up to save them, the world, and you and me. If you'd like, I invite you to close your eyes for a moment while I read from Luke chapter 2, the account of Jesus showing up at Christmas time. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. On that night, God showed up by miraculous circumstances into the most mundane surroundings. On that night, God showed up as the Savior of the world and was laid to rest and sleep in a manger. But that was just the start, right? That was just the start. Jesus kept showing up over and over again. He showed up at the wedding in Cana to bless it. Remember, with all the wonderful wine at that celebration, Jesus showed up to heal the man born blind and the woman of her flow of blood. Jesus showed up to heal the sick, to tend to the brokenhearted. Jesus showed up to feed the 5,000, and Jesus showed up to preach, seek first the kingdom of God. And then, after being betrayed by Judas, after being arrested and tried and scourged, Jesus showed up like he'd never shown up before. Jesus showed up on the cross to forgive us, to save us, to redeem and reconcile us, to make us children of God. So again, if you'd like to close your eyes, you're welcome to do that as I read a brief reading from Mark 15. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified Jesus. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, Listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. He said, Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, Surely this man was the Son of God. We confess our faith in Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, in the second article of the Apostles' Creed. If you'd look at your bulletin again, or if you know it by heart, that's wonderful too. We'll confess again just the first line of the second article, nice and slow. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. These words and those that follow remind us of the heartbreaking, soul-saving work that Jesus did when he showed up for you and for me and for all the world. So lastly, let's think about how God shows up as the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And in our reading for today, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit showing up as the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. So I read that brief reading again. Jesus said, "When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine," Jesus said. "For this reason, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So here, Jesus promises his disciples that God will show up in a different way, not as creator, not as son, but as the Spirit of Truth when Jesus dies and leaves his disciples behind. Jesus states that the Spirit will do a number of things, but most significantly, the Spirit of Truth will take what is Jesus and declare it to you. And what does Jesus have? All that the Father has, all that the Father has. So Jesus has everything that the Father has, and the Spirit will have everything that Jesus has. Therefore, what the Spirit reveals comes directly from Jesus. Declare. He will declare it. Declare is to announce, state, and proclaim. So what did Jesus declare, announce, state, and proclaim? Jesus declared, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. For the Son did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And to the Samaritan woman, Jesus declared, those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give them will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Jesus declared to the crowd that he had just fed, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is indeed the will of my Father," Jesus declared, "that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." And lastly, Jesus said and declared from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus declared life-changing and life-giving words. Words to lead us to the Father, words to set us free. Jesus declared words of love. The Holy Spirit of Truth then declares the truth through the Scripture by abiding with us and dwelling in us. And from the vantage point of being with us and in us, the Spirit prompts us and teaches us, reminds us, comforts us, guides us, and helps us. Through all of these, the Spirit of Truth declares what the Son has already declared, making Jesus' words come alive within us. Amazing. And we confess our faith in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, in the third article of the Creed. So again, we confess just the first line together. I believe in the Holy Spirit. So, dear people of God, on this Trinity Sunday, the Spirit of Truth came into the church at Pentecost and has been in the church and in us ever since. So there you have it. There we have it. The Trinity isn't some dry, old, boring doctrine. It is how God comes to us, shows up to us out of love. Shows up out of love to create the world, to save the world, and to declare to the world and us the truth. Amen. So as you're able, would you please rise as we sing together a great song of the Trinity, Holy, Holy, Holy.